Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Is it true? I heard a rumor that Joe had his daughter do the Rex rant last week. Is that right?
Oh, it happened. That happened? And it was glorious.
I try to pawn off whenever I can, man.
Starting her young.
We're still getting texts about it. It was the greatest rant ever performed. And she just basically ripped Rex Road for 10 straight minutes.
Oh, my God. That's Hall of Fame. How do I get a hold of this? Like, I need that rant.
We can find it. We'll can send it to you. It was Rex Road. Rex Road's still very excited about it.
That's awesome. Love it.
Disrespect.
Next time I'm in Tennessee, she and I will have to get together. We'll work on some material.
That's right. So, Charles, we've been discussing Will Levis on the program today. Four games now where if you look at the numbers and kind of extrapolate those out, pretty good football being played by Will Levis. Do you believe that he's turned a corner here? How do you view kind of the Levis conversation as it relates to the Titans and quarterback as a whole as they move forward?
Well, he and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I mean, there's definitely a nice connection there. The film has definitely been better. There's no question about that. It's, it's funny because when you look at the schedule now, kind of knowing what how the playoff picture shapes up, it's crazy the schedule the Titans have played since mid-September. Like, Green Bay, playoff team. Miami, playoff team if Tua hadn't gotten hurt. Indianapolis, Buffalo, Detroit, you know, both playoff teams, high-end Super Bowl contenders. New England, Chargers, Minnesota, Houston, Washington. All those could all, you know, be playoff teams. It's a brutal schedule now when I look back at this. And the interesting thing is, you know, some of the games, particularly recently, you should beat New England. They beat New England, right? The Houston win was a little bit of a surprise, but, you know, obviously played well in that game, went on the road in Houston. You see Levis ever since coming back, from injury, he seems to be making smarter decisions. We talked about it before. He seems a little bit more comfortable. I think I'm very curious to see how this goes against Jacksonville, because this is another bad team. And I truly believe this, and we've talked about this in past years. I think when franchises are trying to get themselves together, the first thing you have to do is learn how to beat bad teams consistently. Like, you're never going to get yourself on the road to success until you learn how to walk, right? So beat bad teams. This is a bad team. Mac Jones, starting at quarterback, obviously Trevor Lawrence is down. That's a whole big thing now for Jacksonville. This is a very, very winnable game. It's a very, very big opportunity for Levis to take another big step here. You know, have a, you know, not a moderately good game. He could have a really good game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. To me, if that happens, then I'm like, okay, maybe Levis, and I'll get sucked in. Maybe Levis is on the traditional quarterback timeline, the way it used to be, right? Which was, you have year one, it's tough. Year two continues to be tough, but you start to see signs of progress in the second half of the season. And then year three is that traditional, okay, now they take the big step forward. Year three is where they really start to put things together, and that old cliche of the game slowing down and all these things. Maybe he's on that timeline, right? I mean, that is something that used to be an accepted developmental, you know, span for quarterbacks. You would give them 3 years to get themselves where they needed to be. So if he takes a big step against Jacksonville, I'm willing to get sucked in and say, okay, you know, maybe we just need to accept that he's not going to be one of these guys that walks into the NFL out of the box and plays great. By the way, I will mention, I live in Houston, and C.J. Stroud, all of a sudden they have offensive line problems, and that guy, he's still great. I mean, there's no question, but you can see how much a player comes back to earth when suddenly the five guys in front of him just cannot protect him consistently. It is a massive disruption to his game, and I don't think you should look at Levis without staring at that offensive line and then looking at other places and go, oh, geez, look, when they start to have really significant offensive line problems, so does their great quarterback.
No, it's a great point, you know, because Stroud appears to even be just missing throws that were layups last year. And that's what happens, right? The clock
mentally
changes. Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's human nature. We don't, again, I will go back to the well over and over again. You know, Jared Goff, put him here the last couple of years, and we'd all be like, God, is he still in the league? I truly believe that. Right. And he's, but good for him. They're taking advantage of a good situation. It means so much to a quarterback. Well, you mentioned.
Joe, let me ask you this, too. I mean, don't you think, I don't know when it was like the last couple of weeks, Levis got asked about his play, and he made the joke about, well, what did he say? He was like, he basically described a couple of stupid decisions that he, you know, like some of the dumb things.
I'm not flipping the ball to the other team.
And, you know, and everybody laughed, but I was like, actually, like, that's what, to hear him say that, I was like, that's a positive to me. Like, it's recognition. He recognizes, you know, what good and bad play is and the things that, you know, that's to me, especially, you know, if he learns that and doesn't and can work that out, that's a big step. Just getting rid of the horrendous, you know, mistakes, self-inflicted mistakes, like the really bad ones, getting that out of the way. If that hadn't existed in Levis's game, don't you think we would have felt a little bit different, right? It was like the horrendous moments where you're like, this dude just doesn't get it. When you see those things happen, and if those didn't exist, you would go, okay, well, he's struggling, but at least it looks like things that we've seen other good quarterbacks struggle through. We don't see the truly high-level quarterbacks. We rarely see them go through just absolutely, you know, abominable mistakes, other than, like, maybe Brett Favre. Like, we all grew up watching Brett Favre just do idiot things after idiot things, but then he would cover it with, you know, the talent.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah, the crazy things he could turn around and do. So, most guys that were making some of those mistakes that Levis made don't recover, but it doesn't mean that he can't. It just and to hear him, you know, put a voice to that, some recognition to that, I thought that was really positive. I'll never forget when I heard that. I was like, oh, okay, I like that. He can have a lighthearted moment and be like, yeah, that's not great. Like, I can't do that. And then on top of it, have. And it's not just me, you know, I've reached out to other guys and I said, what do you think of Levis' film? And they're like, it's getting better. Him and Bryce Young, those are the two guys where I think probably over the last month, even the critics are like, yeah, you know, it looks better. It looks smarter. It looks more comfortable. It looks, you know, the decisions that are being made, look a lot more sensible. Even the last pick six, you know, which wasn't great, but again, it's a football play. It's a throw you don't want to make, but he came back from that, right? And so, I think there's reasons to be positive. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, that's fine. But I'm glad we could talk about reverse Robin Hood today. Some, but I think the intangibles are there with Levis. It's you know, we're just finding we're still trying to figure out all the tangibles. But no, I think that was a good sign. You mentioned the Texans and Jaguars, Charles. They've had an interesting week since Sunday. Aziz Al-Shaair, Trevor Lawrence. It was a bad play, no question. It was a dirty play. The forearm is in there.
The forearm.
I think it should have been one game, in my opinion. But what's your take on that and how it all went down?
Well, you saw, I mean, the response from John Runyon, obviously, who was, you know, delivered the letter and, you know,
that was strong.
The letter was pretty strong. But it was clear part of what they didn't like was that there was, like, follow-up stuff. It was like, you know, you grab a guy's face mask. Like, it's like, you didn't just do this. And on top of it, you know, there was this big scuffle and you were a big part of it. And you know, some of the actions, was clear they thought, the league saw that some of the actions he took in the scuffle afterward were as inflammatory as what he had done to Lawrence. I have a problem with D'Amico Ryans, Tom Brady, all these people who are kind of like putting it on Lawrence, where it's like, oh, well, you're sliding a little bit late. okay, I hear you say that. Nobody deserves a forearm to the face in that situation. Like, it wasn't just like it was a late hit. It was how, I don't know. Even in bang bang plays, I think guys know, you know, what you're doing with your arm, right? What you're doing with your shoulder. Whenever a guy's head's coming at you, I do think there's at least some thought process that has to go through your mind when you see a quarterback take off running. And there's a flip side of this too. And I think Mahomes is kind of dirty when it comes to this, because Mahomes knows, especially at the sideline, you'll see him try to eke out some extra stuff, because he knows that players pull up a little bit at the sideline. Like, they're not going to kill him, because if he gets 1 foot out of bounds and they hit him, that's going to be an automatic 15-yard penalty. And you see him kind of do some stuff that it's, I guess some people call it clever. I think it's kind of dirty. You know, you're taking advantage of a situation where, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big fan. This is like Brady when he used to work the officials constantly when anybody would touch him. But, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, Al Shayer, and then leaning into this villain thing post the suspension. Clearly, I know he's upset. I get it. 3 games. I'm with you. It probably should have been a game. I think the Texans' big thing is, and D'Amico Ryan said this, he's looked out. They've looked out at other suspensions and fine situations. You know, Jeffrey Simmons is the one that they keep hammering on, where they're just like, you know, why is this a situation where it's not a suspension, or why isn't a fine first? You know, why is it this automatic suspension? And then why is it 3 games? And, you know, it is what it is at this point. I mean, maybe it was an overreaction on their part, but again, there was an opportunity to cut it back. That didn't happen, obviously, in the appeal. And now, you know, they move on. For the Jaguars, you know, you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, great. So now our quarterback's knocked out for the season. Now he has this big AC joint surgery on his non-throwing arm. Like, it's just another year in the Trevor Lawrence sort of odyssey where it's lost. It's like another lost season for them. And you're like, okay, he's 25, but just, at what point is this ever going to turn the corner? And it's just, it's not getting there for them. I'd be pretty concerned. And frankly, like, I ranked all the openings and the potential openings for head coaches just solely based on quarterback situation. I think, you know, Dallas, Dak's coming off his second, you know, season ending lower body surgery. Clearly he's not the same athlete he was, you know, after the last surgery. Now there's another one. In his lower body, that plus the contract, it's like, you know, Trevor Lawrence plus this contract, the lack of development, the injuries now are starting to pile up. If you're head coach, I'm kind of like, man, I don't know, maybe I'd rather take a clean slate at quarterback than go in with guys that are starting to either get, you know, starting to add age and injuries and then have this massive contract too. I hear everyone saying that Jacksonville's a super attractive job and everybody keeps pointing to Lawrence, and I'm like, okay, like, we keep treating Trevor Lawrence like he's going to be that thing we thought he was going to be. What's the line? Like, I'd ask you guys, where's the line there? How long do we go before we're like, just not, it's not going to happen?
He's not gonna be that guy. Yeah, I mean, because he was supposed to be a generational QB. He's not gonna be that guy.
You're not being hyperbolic. That's what everyone thought. Generational, like, walks into the league and is instantaneously a top 10 quarterback and quickly moves to, you know, that top 3-4 player in the NFL. And we just have not seen, even the year that obviously they made the playoff run and a lot of things got put together. You could argue that C.J. Stroud's rookie season was as good as Trevor Lawrence's best season in the NFL. I think you absolutely make that argument. And,
without question.
You know, with these injuries, and that contract, I don't understand. I still am kind of, my mind's blown. I know why they did it and all those different things that go into it, but it's a tough spot to be in. I think it's going to be interesting to see what the 49ers do with Purdy, because I don't think they're just going to go, yeah, sure. Like, they want to sign an extension, absolutely. But I think that the numbers are to a point and things are kind of going the way they're going this season, that I would not be surprised at all if they have a rough go the remainder of the year. Whether I don't think it's just an automatic that Purdy gets that massive extension everybody expects.
So you bring up San Francisco, expected to be at the top of the NFC this year, and clearly they're not at 5-7. You look at the top of the NFC, you've got Detroit at 11-1, Philadelphia at 10-2, the Vikings at 10-2, the Packers at 9-3. Now, two of those teams will play tonight in Green Bay and Detroit. But what do you make of kind of the top there? Detroit's 11-1, and in some years would be running away with it. But you look over the shoulder, and Philadelphia, Minnesota, and Green Bay all right there.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit, the game against Green Bay tonight is massive to me. It's just massive because I don't know how many more injuries the Lions can sustain on defense and not have this eventually start to roll backward on them. I feel like the last couple of weeks we've seen a little bit of why there should be some nervousness. I mean, the Bears, what an atrocity at the end of that game of Thanksgiving game. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I got to tell you, like, Dawn and I were in the car and I'm listening to it, and I was like, he's fired. Like, that's it. Like, this is the craziest thing that I've ever, like, Matt Eberflus is definitely fired. Like, there's no question that's happening. And, you know, so that's the game you got to win. You got to dig yourself out of this hole against Houston. It's just, how long do you kind of play with that fire before it's starting to burn you and you keep losing these players? What's like 13? I think they have 13 defensive players on injured reserve. 13! And they're not like small potatoes, you know? Arguably your two best linebackers are on injured reserve. Your best defensive player and Aiden Hutchinson's on injured reserve. I mean, it's crazy the pieces that they've lost up to this point. So I think, to me, that's a shaky 11-1, but tonight is one of those games where they've been able to overcome it time and time again. This is one I think they have to win. They can't afford. Dan Campbell kind of said, like, we're in the playoffs now. I agree with him. I think with everybody sneaking up, with Philadelphia playing the way they're playing right now, you know, with Green Bay and obviously Minnesota both being in the division and pressing, they're on the clock. They could very easily end up not only not being the number one seed in the NFC. I mean, they could end up being like the two or the three by the time this is, or the three or the four. I mean, it's that tight. So, it's going to be a huge, huge opportunity for them tonight to kind of get things. What do you think of the Jamal Adams trade? That's right. I wanted to ask you guys, or not trade. The
signing. Oh, that'll make a big difference. Well, they do need linebackers. So,
I mean,
you know, I mean, I don't.
Like, don't tell you. It was definitely. It was a negative for me. Like, when I heard it, I'm like, oh boy, like we're kind of to this point, because I don't know how you explain to me, especially after seeing what you saw. How do you put them on the field in a way where it's useful? Like,
as a blitzer, like as a blitzing nickel. I mean, you know, like that's it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, like that's not much. Now the David Long pickup is actually pretty good for them. That was, and I've always been a David Long fan, you know, since he was here, and obviously he's probably diminished some, but no, if the Packers don't score 40, I'm a huge Matt LaFleur guy. But if the Packers don't score 40 tonight, then I think he should be fired. Like, they should score a touchdown on every possession. Like, the Lions should not be able to stop anything.
And they have the pieces
tonight
to do it. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that the Packers are potent enough. And that's the scary thing, I think, about some of these other NFC. I mean, especially when you look at Philly, right? Philly and Green Bay have the horses offensively to go toe-to-toe with Detroit and make it like a 50, you know, 51-50 game. There's no question in my mind that they can do that. By the way, to clean up something earlier, I think I said Jeffrey Sims. I meant Kareem Jackson. I'm like, you know, Titans are on the brain. So about Houston being upset, you know, Kareem Jackson went through all the suspension issues. I said Jeffrey Simmons just because I'm talking to you about the Titans, probably staring at their roster while I'm talking to you.
To back up a point you made, though, the schedule faced to this point for the Titans is third toughest in the NFL.
It's got to be.
Yeah, only the Jags and Cardinals tougher. So there you go.
No, and you don't want to make that excuse, right? You don't. But I definitely, this morning when I was scrolling through the schedule, I'm like, oh my God, now that we're in December and we know what all these franchises are, it's just brutal. Like, it's crazy how tough that schedule has really been. And again, I keep thinking about Levis in that developmental standpoint, and I'm like, if the conversation for us will end up being, let's say he ends up finishing out this season on a positive note, and then, you know, really has a great offseason passing program and really starts to put it together in year three, we'll just sit here and go, oh, it was kind of the normal experience of what it used to be, you know, where it takes a couple of years for things to slow down for a quarterback. I fall into the same trap that I think a lot of people do now. It's we just expect right away that everybody who's, you know, it's just this, I think, Joe, you even brought it up, like how fast quarterbacks are getting, you know, thrown away in this league. And then a couple weeks ago, you were like, you said, you made a remark about, we just cash out on guys after a year, you know, 1 year, 2 years. And it's like, nope, that guy's not going to work. So let's just move on to this next thing. And it becomes this, you know, kind of a rough, I think, cycle for quarterbacks where no one's allowed to be developed anymore. And I think a lot of that has to do with the pressure of the job now, because coaches get fired more after, you know, 1 or 2 years now than ever before. Like Antonio Pierce, like I was talking to somebody yesterday and they're like, yeah, he's very much hanging by a thread and, you know, with the Raiders. And I'm like, God, this is terrible ownership. Like, how bad are owners now where they're just cashing out one coach after another, after 1 year, 2 years, like just you're killing your organization. And, you know, I think some of that bleeds into the quarterback decisions as well.
Well, speaking of that fine organization, actually, I'll go there with you, Charles, to wrap it up, because we are back in the debate of one yesterday, Vrabel, you know, Ohio State, yeah. That could guy could pop, and I think it's not something you rule out, but also I still would guess that he would take an NFL job. There's been some talk, you know, Kaharski here is big on Raiders, Brady, part, you know, his piece of the team. Vrabel comes in with his buddy Brady, you know, and replaces Pierce, but I would have my misgivings about that ownership and that whole situation. But
that ownership,
give me your December 5th prediction on Mike Vrabel's next job.
Man, that's a really good question. You know, he's going to be in the mix for New Orleans. I talked to somebody there. He'll be on their list. You know, they will definitely seek an interview with him. The Bears are interesting because, look, the Bears right now are, I think what they've recognized now is that a very big part of their problem that has lasted for a while, and ownership has a lot to do with this, it's just like cultural. They don't understand how to like create a culture in Chicago. They just don't. And they've seen it in a number of different things that have happened, both, you know, football decisions, but then other things that have happened inside the building. And I was talking to somebody there about Cliff Kingsbury, and you know, okay, Cliff's got this connection with Caleb, all these different things. And I was kind of telling this person, like, man, when I went through Arizona after Cliff, all you heard was it wasn't the greatest culture that he had set up. There were a lot of lack of accountability with some of the young guys under Cliff. Is that what you really want to bring into Chicago? And then this guy brought up Vrabel. He said, well, yeah, you know, it could end up being that culture kind of guy, the leader kind of guy, Vrabel, because I think the one thing that the Lions really, or excuse me, one thing that the Bears really like in the division, I think they've been very impressed with what Dan Campbell's been able to do in terms of like not only harnessing the minds of the fan base, but also consistently just pounding on this idea of like, this is who we are. This is what we're going to be, like over and over and over and every single year. And this is the consistency we're going to bring to the table. And I think there's some thought inside the Bears organization that amongst coaches who are not super old, it's sort of like, okay, maybe Bill Belichick can bring that to the table. Maybe like a Pete Carroll can bring that to the table, but who are the young guys? I think they believe Mike could be someone who could bring that to the table. So I would not rule out the Bears. The Ohio State thing to me is really intriguing, because there were some people around Mike when things were taking a left turn with the Titans who sure seemed to think that he was absolutely open to returning back to college and going to Ohio State. Now this was, I mean, it was probably 2 years ago that these were conversations I was having, and it was pre I don't want to say it was pre, but in that 2 years, there's been nothing but a wave of coaches who want to get out of college and get into the NFL because of the portal and NIL. And they're just like, it's not worth it anymore. It's way too horrible trying to, you know, deal with this on a 365-day basis. But look, you know, Mike toyed with the idea of being the defensive coordinator for the Giants at one point, like, you know, and people around him were like, no, don't do that. You know, you don't just wait. Your next job will be a head coaching job. That didn't happen, obviously, in the first hiring cycle. So now he's in Cleveland. The Cleveland media base there, it's funny to me because I talk to people in the organization. They're like, dude, they just won't lay off. Radio will not – you radio guys. Radio will not lay off Mike – Kevin Stefanski getting fired and Mike stepping in. Which is hilarious because when you talk to people in the Browns organization, they're now firing Kevin Stefanski. He is not the problem. Like, everybody there knows what the problem is, but, you know, I don't want to say they see the negatives of Mike being in the building, but they definitely understand when you bring in a guy like this, people tend to stare at him a lot on the, you know, in practices on the sidelines and expect that, hey, now we have our replacement in the building. So, I'll be curious to see if I don't know that he necessarily has a place in Cleveland after this, and not because of anything he's done. I think it's just them trying to clean up the chaos inside the organization and you know, an owner that reacts to what he hears on radio and what the fan base feels. I think Mike will have some opportunities he's definitely going to get some interviews. I don't know if I want to say he'll definitely have some opportunities. You tell me Ohio State wise. After that, I mean, that Michigan loss was literally one of the most inexplicable things I've ever seen in my life from a football standpoint. I've never seen a team that can't throw the football and is missing every good player basically off of their, you know, their national championship team, beat an Ohio State team that was loaded in every possible way, including the coaching staff. I've never seen anything like that happen before.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I do, but if a really good NFL job,
Mike want that though? I mean, do you think Mike would want to go back into college football the way it is now? Because it's not constituted the way it was when he was last there, right?
Yeah, look, I mean, coach. Sure. No, I mean it's a concern, but I mean I've been consistent on this for 2 years since I wrote this column. Everybody got mad about 2 years ago. Vrabel would be an amazing recruiter. And I think in a lot of ways actually would work better in the college game than the pro game. And yes, it sucks. But if you're Ohio State, it sucks way less because you will have the best players every year and most weeks. So it's the only job.
What about a re-recruiter, Joe? I think that's the problem. Where you see a lot of these guys burning out. It's the re-recruitment, not the initial recruitment. Everybody can land the number one class. It's just re-recruiting that class every single year to make sure they get to, you know, a sophomore season where they start to really actually contribute as starters.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you hope that so there are people who take care of that too, because these college teams have personnel departments. But also, you're doing some re-recruiting, and you're also saying, you know what, I think that Alabama receiver would work well here. Let's go get him.
Take
you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, but a good NFL job would still be – that'd be my betting.
I'll just leave it with this, and we can wrap it up. I don't think Mike wants to be in the kind of role that he's in now much longer. I think he wants to
be a head coach somewhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is the priority for Mike this next offseason, is to find himself a head coaching spot. And I don't want to say, like, I don't think he'll just take anything, right? But I think if there are good opportunities out there, I think he will take a good opportunity rather than waiting for a perfect opportunity. I'll put it that way.
Yep. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what he had to say coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.